this Stephen?
It is.
Hi, Stephen. This is Victoria Vesna. Do you remember me?
Yes.
From the lab?
I'm busy participating in an art installation right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, actually, you are. That's why I'm calling.
I see.
The performance has not ended.
Is everybody here? Are we on a call or something?
Well, I tried, but everybody's message machine picks up, you know, so I was wondering, do you mind if I record our conversation?
That's fine.
Okay. Anyway, I tried calling practically everybody, and either there's a message machine or the numbers are not written down right, so I'll keep trying. I'm just going to randomly keep calling people until I touch base with everyone who's committed their number.
That's amusing. Your performance actually has, seems to have compelled me to answer an unfamiliar number. Which is why we're talking now.
There you go. You were curious, right?
Exactly.
So what did you think of that event when everything seemed to fail? Everything possible seemed to fail.
I was really excited by that.
Really?
Yeah, I was hugely excited by it. I was excited at the beginning. And it's excited that you decided to go on even though things were kind of falling apart. So I guess you were sort of inviting it.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, part of what I tried to make a point of is the kind of chaos that we exist in and how much of it is amplified by technology that actually never works.
Uh-huh.
Never works quite the way we want it, so there's a lot of confusion actually that's created. And the struggle is whether to fight that confusion or go with it, or somehow try to reinvent our ways of dealing with it. And I can't say I have the answer, but I tried to do it publicly, and I'm really glad to hear that you were actually kind of getting it, you know, that was the point.
Well, in fact, I guess it sort of kept escalating, although there was a point where, well, actually, I'll tell you about the point where I think it last escalated was when a slew of people came into the space after we were well underway. And, well, they're looking around, and you're obviously sort of the focal point, but you're talking and no one is listening to you. They're walking around. Everybody else, or a great number of people are talking on cell phones. Then they might figure out that some of them are talking to each other. Then you're around filling with people with video cameras. Some people are being filmed by multiple video cameras. Some people are on microphones. Some people have all of them. And nobody's paying attention to the same thing, but in the big picture, they sort of are. But you can't help but get something out of it, whether you think you are or not.
Yeah. I actually consider it to be a success if I become totally ignored, you know. So part of what I try to do is see if I could get to the point where the audience becomes the performer and I can blend in with it rather than my kind of standing there as an authority, you know, kind of shifting that whole idea. And people are so willing to do that, actually. Proof is all the numbers, you know, because if people didn't want to participate, they wouldn't put their numbers down.
In fact, nobody told me what was going to be done with my
number. And you gave your number?
No, I gave it.
I actually have people saying, there's no way people will be giving their numbers. They don't know what you'll do with it. And I said, well, just watch.
And now you're sort of taking that to the next level, and you're having your way with my number.
There you go. And then we'll put this conversation on the web.
Wonderful. Well, it's funny, you know, at the beginning, I think a lot of people do realize that that they're supposed to be the performer, but at first it seems sort of like a conceit, and then they forget.
Yeah.
And then they do a really wonderful job. You know, like sort of at the beginning, you said, oh, well, will you hold the microphone and pass it around.
Yeah, nobody said anything.
They'll pass it around. I thought, geez, even in San Francisco, nobody will say something into the microphone. But then, and so that's sort of the point at which they think it's a conceit or they're embarrassed. And then we all sort of transcend our embarrassment and do something that on the face of it is far more embarrassing.
So,
but, yeah.
So what do you do? What do you do in life to keep yourself busy? Or what do you like to do?
Well, I've been busy being unemployed for a while now and enjoying it entirely.
Which means you were in the tech industry, or?
I was, yeah. I was rather happily employed as an information architect, the career I had invented for myself a couple of years previously. And was happily doing that, but then, well, a person who invents their own career doesn't really have a whole lot of buy-in, although I had more than just my own, and so I was eliminated.
You were freelancing, or you were part of a company?
I was actually part of a company.
I see.
And I don't know if I will be again. I felt thoroughly plugged in, and now I feel thoroughly unplugged.
And liking it.
Yeah, and I expected to like it as well. I had been expecting, I had planned on quitting at the end of August, and then it just sort of happened. So basically I have uncertainty, and I don't have to work, rather than having uncertainty and having to work.
Did you manage to put some money aside?
A little bit. They gave me some. Here's some money. They gave me some money because they felt bad. That's usually the way it goes.
That's unusual, actually.
I hadn't put any away. Well, they call it a severance.
Right.
So it's sort of a good faith act. And, yeah, I gladly took that. And so now I'm trying to figure out what my lifestyle is after I can no longer afford to do what I'm doing now. Right now I'm sitting in a cafe.
Very nice.
Which really makes this all entirely more amusing because being in a cafe is sort of performance, and it is largely mediated by technology. You know, everybody's got a book or they've got a laptop. Very few people just sit and drink coffee. And it's usually the ones that are most mediated that pay the most attention to everybody else. You know, I have this little maxim to myself that it's people with laptops and books and notebooks that are always looking up when anyone comes in the room. And that reminds me of the other night. So, yeah,
this is true. So I'm trying to imagine you sitting in a cafe. Where are you? Another thing about cell phone conversations, you have to know where the person is.
Yes, that's something I noticed when I first got one. It used to be the way I greeted a cell phone conversation.
Where are you?
I love to close that distance. I'd be like, where are you? I still do it. And in fact, also your performance the other night reminded me of another sort of chronotopic moment like that where I was on top of the Smith Tower in Seattle. Looking at the city, actually outdoors on an observation platform, and was supposed to meet up with some other people that were roaming around Seattle, and they called me on the cell phone, and I asked them if they had found Smith Tower yet, and they said, oh yeah, we see it in the distance, and I talked to them for a few minutes, and they say, oh yeah, we're right at the foot of it, and I looked down, and I saw them, and I said, hey, wave to me, and we all waved at each other, and suddenly that distance of 100 stories closed up. Between my ear and the machine on my ear.
You know what I really like about people talking to each other on cell phones in the same location, especially when I do these performances, is that your lips are out of sync.
That was really interesting.
You know?
You warned us, but it looked very amusing.
Did you experience that?
Well, yeah, and suddenly, you know, it's like watching a gun fired from 400 yards away.
That's an interesting analogy.
You see the gun fired and then you hear it. Well, I'm standing right next to somebody and yet their voices play almost as if I'm seeing the distance between the network infrastructure, not ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, suddenly I'm seeing this other guy, 50s, the distance of the repeater times two.
Yeah. I find that fascinating. We kind of take it for granted, but actually something that everybody has in their pocket is going through these elaborate bounces and going, hitting a satellite, coming back, and the delay is actually really nothing. It's very little if you consider what's going on.
Right. And it is, it's like this virtual network that covers, you know, a good deal of the country, and it's this technology sphere that it's invisible.
Yeah, and it's mostly hexagonal, which I think is really fascinating.
That was really gorgeous, and I like the Buckminster Fuller quote, by the way.
I love it. You actually paid attention.
Despite myself, I was trying not to, because I thought that was what we were supposed to do, but yeah, I did.
Well, I'm doing a whole new piece on Buckminster Fullerene's. I'm collaborating with a nanoscientist, and I'll send you the URL when I get that going. I'm premiering it next month in Australia.
Oh, how wonderful.
But we're actually putting a camera inside a STM microscope and looking at buckyballs and then projecting them and streaming it live on the web. So really making it accessible, you know, something that's absolutely inaccessible. And then I want to project it huge, just really play with the idea of scale.
Uh-huh.
So you just have these molecules that are just enormous and projected on a building. And when you walk past it, you generate a shadow that actually, with your shadow, you can start pushing the molecules. And I was working with Jim Jimczewski, is the name of the scientist, to kind of develop it so that the way you push it is actually the way they manipulate molecules. So it's not just a random kind of metaphorical way of
right,
looking.
Right, because they can't grab them.
That's right.
It's a nudging.
Yeah. So you start nudging, and then if you nudge to the point where you kind of squish it, because that's how buckyballs react, they're kind of flexible a little bit, you actually release some text, and the text is a combination of sci-fi and academic reports and, headlines from small times and these different nanoscience magazines and journals, and you just cannot tell the difference after a while. Because it's all kind of constructed, you know.
Yeah,
And so that, actually...
Ball.
Yeah, because I made this kind of journey, you know, through the hexagon from looking at Bucky Fuller's structures and thinking about them in physical space to thinking about tensile structures and how they could possibly be used in information space and creating more effective systems to organization. And for me, it was more kind of idea. I couldn't get into the whole, what you were doing, information architecture. And then I started looking at cell phones and social structures, because I don't want to get all abstract and, you know, just into the aesthetic and philosophical. I like to connect the high and the low, you know, in every possible way. So
And the tactile and the virtual.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Fuller. I'm actually building a geodesic dome right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
A full dome?
What's that?
A full dome? A living?
No, a half dome, so a half sphere.
Where?
Not one to live in. I'm actually doing it for the Burning Man Festival.
Ah, oh, fantastic.
It's somewhere where it's, I think, at the point, oh,
you're breaking up, and I'm really interested in what you're saying.
I bet you are. I knew it was going to happen eventually, and that you'd get excited. Well, yeah, so, as a temporary structure, because I've been interested in structures. And, you know, he had one, I think he called it, like, the next one. And it was where all the vertices were, the struts had a ball at the end. And the vertice was a metal circle, and it had little ball joints. And so the
ball bearing.
Yeah, the struts fit into it.
Uh-huh.
And so it just unfolded.
Beautiful.
It's just fantastic.
It's so beautiful.
I built a model of it a couple of weeks ago, and I just built it out of little wooden dowels and plastic tubing, and yet you can put your hand on the top of the thing and just feel it spread the weight.
So you gotta see this piece. Give me your email. I'll send you as soon as we have something up.
My email is prolix.
Spell it.
P as in Paul. R-O-L-I-X as in xylophone.
Mm-hmm.
At devo.com.
V-I-V-O?
No, D-E-V-O.
Oh, Devo. Devo is the band? Okay.
Yeah. At devo.com. And isn't it funny that I spelled out those consonants as well?
It is.
And xylophone. So yeah, just another element. Yeah.
You're going to love this. You really will. Yeah, definitely.
I really do love the balls. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I tried to escape this sprawl and just see the development there. There's a little mall, a strange little strip mall. The strangest little strip mall I'd ever seen. It was in an L shape, and it was all sort of prefab looking, you know, all girders and reinforced concrete. It was painted blue and red, and had this giant reflecting pool in the inside of the L, filled with little concrete frogs, a matrix of frogs. And in the middle of this pool was a geodesic sphere. About 40 feet high. That was the strangest. It was a typical strip mall. You know, it had a flower shop. It had a video store. It actually had a colonic parlor. But it also had a geodesic sphere, right? In the
how bizarre.
Pool. And they've torn it down, and now it's a parking lot.
Of course.
And I always wondered what they did with the ball. I always thought it would be just so amusing to set it rolling down.
They probably trashed it.
Yeah, they did trash it, I'm sure.
That's too bad, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, please do send me that.
Absolutely.
I've always wanted to interact with the electron microscope as well.
Yeah, well, you may have an opportunity, actually. We keep in touch.
Oh, good.
Let me know, and we'll be in touch for sure, because we have a lot of shared interests, and
good.
When you're in Los Angeles, you should definitely come to UCLA, and I'll take you to the lab where I'm working now, for sure.
Too bad I was just there a week and a half ago.
Oh, yeah.
I would have loved to have done that, and it's funny, I was just there...
Just before I was in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. I had to go down to Santa Barbara and meet somebody, and I thought, oh, well, why not go to L.A. for a couple of days? I saw a friend, but unfortunately I was there Sunday and Monday, and Monday it's like everything I wanted to do was closed. You know, I wanted to see the Getty and
America,
so it was closed on Monday. And Museum of Jurassic Technology was closed because it's a Monday. They're closed Monday, Tuesday.
Not a good day for gallery hopping.
Have you been to that little space?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. In fact, he came and gave a talk in our program.
Oh,
he's pretty amazing.
That man's that's a labor of individuals.
Yeah. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, and just to keep the performance going, I will keep your number and my cell phone.
Okay, sounds good.
Who knows what will happen next.
Exactly.
And this is interesting as well. We're doing another element, and this is common all phone calls where we're all sort of giving the signal of leave taking.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's funny, in personal interactions, a lot of the time the person says something like, well, I need to go soon.
That's true.
It's funny, they say it, and immediately the leave taking starts. You know, even if they've said soon, everybody's getting up and shaking hands and making the promise of getting together next time.
Yeah, body language.
I've always been fascinated by those interactions, and I always found that one very amusing. And even myself, somebody says, I've got to go soon, and I catch myself getting up and doing the shaking hands, promising that I'll see them again. And we'll probably do that next.
I'm sure, yeah.
I'll talk to you later, you know.
Now that you pre-emptied it, I don't know how to cut this conversation.
I know you'll do that.
We're going to have to wait for your cell phone to die.
Oh, no.
There's always a way, you know, where the cell phone starts breaking up. You can use that as an excuse, too.
Or maybe I'll have to just run out of minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Our time is all spiced up. Well, yeah, I knew you'd like that as well, because you seem to get off on self-reference and talking about the conversation we're having. so I threw that in as well. Now I'm out. I'm,
well,
I'm
you're
no more
very much a great person to have a conversation with because
you
totally get it. And I really, really enjoyed talking to you. So
good,
you can kind of get this, that this is a gesture to start saying goodbye.
Yeah.
But I will definitely be in touch.
It is really amazing that I made this contact in a performance. It's really strange. But you should keep it up.
I am. I find it kind of interesting, too, you know, to just totally shift the idea of duration, too.
Oh, well, excellent job. I mean, thank you for not being swayed from it. I can't think of how many people would come up with that idea and would simply discount it out of hand and say, well, you can't do that. and so you did, and here I am talking. It's all pretty amazing.
Well, enjoy your hangout at the coffee shop.
Now that I've thoroughly freaked out everyone around me.
Yeah, they're thinking, what?
Making references to people with laptops. There's one of them getting up now and going, I definitely, the promise of a microscopy, I'll keep in touch with you soon.
Yeah, I'll send you this material. Totally get a kick out of it.
Please,
the
wonderful
new stuff I'm doing.
Good.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.